Good morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and Adam with me here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. I'm Adam Epstein. It's AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, live and local here on a Saturday morning, July 11th. There's so much going on in the sports world this summer. Wimbledon finals going on today on the women's side, tomorrow on the men's side. World Cup action today. Two big quarterfinal games in the States, as this has been a fun World Cup in the States, Mexico, and Canada. Even without the States, Mexico, and Canada advancing past the round of 16. Major League Baseball All-Star festivities next week. Nats trying to close out the season, the halfway point above 500, and a wild NBA offseason where you have former teammates fighting each other. We'll get into that a little bit later. While everybody is waiting patiently for LeBron James to announce his move. I thought all along he'd be going to Cleveland. Seems like there's a few other teams that could grab him this offseason. I'll tell you guys why I don't want Washington to have anything to do with LeBron James, as the Wizards have quietly put together a very competitive roster. You had the number one overall pick, A.J. Dabonsa. It's time for a new day of Wizards basketball in the nation's capital. We'll focus in on that a lot today. Like I said, the Nats are way ahead of schedule in my mind, and trying to close out the first half of this season above 500. Two more games today at Nats Park, and then tomorrow against the Yankees. Commanders, just about 2 weeks away until training camp. Now there's more focus on Jaden Daniels going into year three. What does he need to do to improve? What concerns do you have for Jaden Daniels outside of injury? Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we will read it on air. Appreciate a few people already letting me know on Twitter that they are tuning in today here on a Saturday morning. And I've got to start by getting something off my chest. I am a huge fan. I am a huge supporter of the U.S. men's national team, USA Soccer. It's meant so much to me during my life. It was the first sport I got into. I was 4 years old, started playing soccer. I've loved the sport ever since then. And I've always told people my favorite sports moment of my life, before the Nats won and the Caps won in 18 and 19, right? Before that, my favorite sports moment of my life was Landon Donovan's 2010 goal versus Algeria. And I actually had the pleasure of interviewing Landon Donovan before this summer about that goal and about that moment. And I love the World Cup and the Olympics as well, sports where you get to represent your country. The passion is incredible. It really is. And the World Cup has always delivered. Always. Every 4 years, then I get super sad when it's gone. And I'm going to miss this one because it's been terrific. The star power has been unreal and should be talked about for a while. I'm just as upset of everyone else about the U.S. lost to Belgium 4-1. About Christian Pulisic leaving the game with the injury and the entire World Cup that he had. Captain America did not do a great job representing America. But I've seen way, way, way too many people take personal shots at Christian Pulisic, take shots at the entire team, and call this World Cup a failure for Team USA. And I just completely disagree with that. It's not a failure. It's not the most successful World Cup for America. That was 2002. But it's not a failure. It's baby steps in this sport, in this country, and growth is success. It's been a success, a small success. But here's some reasons why. Team USA played well in every match until the Belgium game. And I feel like there's people that just tune in every 4 years or have tuned in for the first time in 12 years, and they're judging Team USA by the one game against Belgium when we blew out Paraguay, who eliminated Germany. We should be saying Team USA finished ahead of Germany. So if it's a failure in this country, imagine what they're saying in Germany. We finished ahead of Uruguay, who got eliminated in the group stage. Imagine what they're saying there. They've won this World Cup. They've won the World Cup in the past. And then we finished ahead of the Netherlands, who was knocked out in the round of 32 by Morocco, the team that eliminated us 4 years ago. That's three damn good soccer nations that we finished ahead of. That's one reason why it's a success. Number two, like I'm saying, we played well against Paraguay, against Australia. A great game against Bosnia and an incredible 30 minutes where it was Team USA versus the world after we were shown a red card. And I'll get into it a little bit later. It does suck that it went from Team USA against the world to the world against Team USA in a matter of seconds, it felt like. But we have to talk about the ratings, the numbers, the number of people going to games, watching games, higher than anything non-National Football League in 30 years, matching NFL playoff numbers for Mexico versus England, and then for Team USA against Belgium. That's a huge success from that standpoint. I went to a game. I didn't know what I was going to expect when we decided that it was, you know, all the talk, it was coming to America. I was looking at tickets, way too expensive. I had complaints about the tickets being too expensive. I can still complain about the tickets being too expensive. The money I spent, I have no regrets because it was one of the coolest moments of my life to be in the link in Philadelphia for a knockout game between France and Paraguay and to see how much it meant to the Paraguayans to my right and to the French fans to my left. And I went to that game. It was packed. It was insane. It was awesome. And it wasn't even a great game, but the vibes were amazing. And I know FIFA will want to host another World Cup here and not wait 30 years because of how successful it's been with the number of people going and watching. And again, back to the team itself. With Mauricio Pochettino, I loved the style of play. I did feel like it was improved. And you know what? We have stats to prove that. We have never scored as many goals as we did in this World Cup. That's improving more than ever. How about results? You want wins? Three wins. That's more than ever in the World Cup. The way we went out was embarrassing. I will raise my hand and say it was embarrassing, a 4-1 loss to Belgium, and our best player went out with a whimper. But I believe it was a small success. And I just don't like how so many people are saying it was a failure, and I feel like they're not even really fans of this team. They just want to jump on the back and boo soccer because you didn't like the sport to begin with. I agree. It was a missed opportunity because we could have changed lives if we won that game. But instead, turns out it was a small success. It did grow the sport. America is looking better. And you know what? My producer, Wes, is going to a watch party today. I'm going to a watch party today. My friends are already hitting me up trying to make plans for the semifinals and finals. People that hate soccer. People that, when they come over and I'm watching Premier League on Saturday mornings, they say, turn this crap off. They don't care. But now, all of a sudden, they want to get together to watch the game. And maybe it's just because it's a cool event. But I think it's growing. And if you're calling this a failure, I'll say, where were you in 2018? Crickets, right? That was a failure. That was a disgrace for American soccer to not even qualify for the World Cup. So now, 8 years later, to advance out of the group that we finished on top of because we won, to win a knockout round game, I don't care that there's 48 teams, it's still a knockout round game. We ended our losing streak against European competition, and we advanced to the round of 16. 2018 was a failure. It's baby steps. This was a successful tournament. It was a success for the USA. It was a success because we won the group. And now, hopefully, we'll be able to do that again. We've only won the group three times. 1930. You hear people talk about the 1930 World Cup. Nobody knows anything about it. 2010. Landon Donovan. And then 2026. That's the only three times we've won the group. Now let's do it again. And eventually, I think we will get a favorable matchup to advance to the quarterfinals again like we did in 2002. And maybe we get lucky in a one-off and make it to a semifinals. And now I go back to Tim Howard saying it'll be impossible for us to win the World Cup. And he was never wrong. He's never wrong, as much as it was upsetting to hear that. He was right. We would have to play the best four games of our life. We couldn't even play the best one game of our life against Belgium. The problem is moving forward, our groups are going to be harder and harder. But I see a lot of people that don't watch soccer, that don't watch MLS, that don't really know the players on this team outside of Christian Pulisic and Balogun. And they're telling everybody this is a failure because we lost to Belgium. Oh, I got this super hot take on soccer. The fact that you have a take on soccer is growth. The fact that you are talking about soccer is a success. It wasn't a smashing success. It wasn't a home run. And it's a shame because that's what I was saying is it had a chance to be the greatest summer ever. If we had one more win, we would have a full another week of people hyping it up. And a few things could have gone our way and maybe gotten an easier draw. Looked like we were going to get Egypt instead of Belgium or Senegal. But I'll still argue for the rest of my life that the 2026 World Cup was more of a success than a failure. For anybody that watched 2006, 2010, 2014, 2022, because we didn't make it in 2018, you cannot tell me that we haven't improved. Our starting 11 is now respectable. Our top 15 players play at top clubs. The problem is that the top nations, like Belgium is one of them, have 50 players who play at top clubs. But this was a success in terms of our starting 11 playing three really good games and then one stinker. I'm calling it a successful tournament. And Team USA should try to hopefully, go through qualifying here, get back in 2030. Christian Pulisic has a chance for a redemption story. It's a small success. It's a small success. More and more people are interested in soccer. The ratings, you cannot argue with 50 million people watching. You can't argue against that. It's a missed opportunity for sure, but not a failure. I really don't like that word, people calling it a failure, when there's more and more people having a take on soccer than ever. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We all have the right to be upset. You have the right to be disappointed in Christian Pulisic, but all the personal shots people are taking against him and overall calling this entire experience this summer a failure is just really rubbing me the wrong way. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wad here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910, The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, it's A-U-D-A-C-Y. A-U-D-A-C-Y gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can take radio with you on the go. You can hear me in Richmond. Just search 910, The Fan, to hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. The summer of soccer continues today in the States, Mexico, and Canada with Norway, England at 5 o'clock, Argentina, Switzerland at 9 p.m. Those are going to be two thrilling matchups. A couple days off before Tuesday's semifinals, which is just unreal. And we're going to talk about Team USA losing to Belgium, but that France-Spain game coming up Tuesday might go down as one of the greatest soccer games of the common era. I mean, the last time they played, I heard it was like a 5-4 banger. We could have something similar because both teams have incredible players in attack. The game is growing in this country. More and more of my friends that are just diehard NFL fans are asking me, hey, do you want to get together to watch the soccer game today? So for Team USA, I'm disappointed, but I do not believe it was a failure of a World Cup. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to George in Florida. George, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Thank you for taking my call, and good morning to you. Yes, it's not a failure. You mentioned 2018. I'll go back to the World Cup in 2006 when the USA finished dead last and were absolutely horrific, lost to Iran. It was terrible. And also, thank you for sticking up for Christian Pulisic, because a lot of people with other agendas taking shots at him, kind of retconning his USA career, like he didn't score the winning goal against Iran that put us through in 2022 out of the group stage and into the round of 16. And I want to center my point where I disagree with you slightly on that, because this is a bottom line business. You know, in your business, your ratings got to be at least as good as they were going up, or there's trouble, right? That's just the way it is. And in this business, as great as the path was to get there, they lost in the round of 16 by 3 goals, and they were beaten badly, just like they were in 2022. And so it takes a lot of the gloss off of it for me, because it's no better than what we did under Baldy Greg Berhalter, and no one was celebrating that 4 years ago. Nobody was. So it's kind of hard to sit here and be that happy about it, even though, again, we had some great moments and some really good games to watch. It's no better than 4 years ago. That's the problem.
Yeah, George, so are you saying success or failure? Because I kind of am hearing both out of you, because, you know, my point is we can both be disappointed, but it's baby steps. And to win the group was a success. To end our losing streak against European teams was a success. The end result sucked, and I'm really pissed off and disappointed, but I'm not saying failure.
Oh, no, it's definitely not a failure. It's not 2006. It's not qualifying in 2018. No, failure is way overstepping the mark. But it's a very tiny success in the sense that, yes, we won the group, but it is a little watered down because it's 48 and not 32. And we played entertaining soccer that a lot of people enjoyed watching. We scored a lot of goals, which was great. It's just that end result was so bad. And against a team that, honestly, outside of that game and yesterday, didn't play well at all in the tournament and just scraped through. And that's the thing that I can't get out of my head, is that I watched Belgium in the group stage. They didn't deserve to win the group. They probably didn't deserve the 5 points they got. And then somehow they come in and wipe the floor with the United States. That's the part that hurts the most.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because for 65 minutes, it looked like we were playing Senegal. And then Belgium got hot. They carried that momentum, plus the grudge of Balogun being allowed to play. And they outplayed us for sure in that 90 minutes. Good call, George. Appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Lex in Maryland. Lex, you're on the fan with AWOD. What's up?
Hey, well, thank you for taking my call. No, I just got to say it is not a failure. And the reason why I say that is because the U.S. Federation, our foundation, not sure the correct term, is doing a great job. And I'll go back to the last World Cup where they fired the head coach and they brought in Pochettino. I was so happy because I knew, okay, we're going in a different direction. The U.S. is admitting, okay, what we're doing is not working. Let's do something else. I was kind of hoping, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were going after Jurgen Klopp after he left Liverpool, and I was like, holy crap, if we get Jurgen Klopp, that would have been amazing, but we didn't. But the fact that we got Pochettino and we're making these moves is not a failure. And I also think now that with the success, even though it wasn't to what we true soccer fans want, of course, like we want to, especially with the women being so successful, we want that mirrored as well, you know, in our men's game, just like France, right? France has good women and men's soccer, so it's not a failure. I just hope Americans can see, like, we need to further invest in development, and not just development in youth sports, but also to how we develop players. You know, Christian Pulisic, well, always my opinion, correct me, you can disagree, but, like, he went to Germany to train at 16 years old.
Yep.
And that's what people don't realize, is that, and even then, people don't know, is that he actually claims dual citizenship so he can train for Borussia Dortmund under Jurgen Klopp. So, like, we should have that here in the States where people shouldn't have to go overseas, but if they do, let's make it easier, right? Let's see what we can do to kind of bring in that talent and scouting and everything that we can to here to the States so we can continue. Because there are a lot of people, especially after this, who are going to grow. Little boys are going to grow and be like, I want to do this now. So it's not a failure at all. And also, too, it shouldn't be on Christian Pulisic. So yes, I know he had an injury, but we got Robinson, we got McKinney. Like, Robinson plays for Fulham, McKinney plays for Juventus. Like, we need to step up, and we need to continue. And, like, kind of like those big clubs like Manchester United and Liverpool, we can't just accept them. Like, no, we got to get better. Like, let's push this. Let's motivate us. Let's get better. Let's not settle.
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of my opinion on it. And I still hope, like, maybe Jurgen Klopp will come one day, but that's a long shot. I'm a Liverpool fan. So
yeah, good call. I appreciate you chiming in, and I love your passion. And you're right. There has to be a commitment in this country to getting better, to spending the money, to have the best coaches. Now that we can't take a step back after you go to Coach Poch, right? You had Pochettino. Next step needs to be trying to get Pep, trying to get Klopp, trying to get a guy that has coached at the highest of levels and won on the big stage. You cannot go back and say, oh, we're going to hire Steve Cherundolo. We're going to hire Jesse Marsh. I don't want to hire an American. I want to go out and hire one of the best coaches available and take it seriously. And we did show that commitment to Poch, and I would be fine with sticking with him. So good call. It's disappointing to lose. I understand people being upset with Christian Pulisic because he's the face of this right now in America. But it's 11 guys on the field, and 9 of them had the worst game of their lives against Belgium. But that does not mean, overall, it was a failure. Let's go to Mark in Landover. Mark, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, Adam, top of the day to you, buddy.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, buddy, we've talked about this before, and now that our team is out of it, man, there's a few things I think people do, and what you open up with and saying about talking about these fans that get so psyched and know nothing about soccer and then jump on the bandwagon once every 4 years, they are nothing but pitiful. You know, and then after our team loses and they don't know a lot about it, they just go right back, I'll see you in 4 years. So to pay attention to them would be a joke. They're not like you and I and a lot of other soccer fans that played soccer when they were little. You know, if they played.
But, Mark, here's one thing I'll say, though, Mark, is all these people that are jumping on board in 4 years and they were with us for the ride and now they're all pissed off because we lost, I will take them on the bandwagon because that means the sport is growing at least.
Yeah, I agree with you, Adam. I agree with you. But the nattering nabobs of negativity, that's what they are, and a lot of them, no matter what happens or would happen, unless it's an extreme event where we win it all, they just go right back to the wolf ticket salesman that they are. Our team needs proving, and Mauricio Pochettino is who they should get started off. He is a very well-recognized expert, if you want to call him that, and a very good coach. He's coached it all over the world, and you're 100% right with what you said. And the last time I talked to you about soccer, we both said and that we do not want to go back to Burkhalter and the people in between Bora and now, because that's what happened to our soccer program, where they thought they were going to get these people who were Americans to come in and revamp our soccer team. If you look back at them, and you might remember this, you're old enough, but remember the days of Michel Platini, before he was with FIFA, man, France, they kept calling them the Brazilians of Europe. They never won jack. And then finally, they totally revamped everything, and look where they're at now. That's the type of revamping that they need to check into and get people who are involved in that to carry on and everybody else. You notice he was
Mark, you're breaking up, Mark. I appreciate you chiming in, man. Great call. It's always good to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. We're talking about the Team USA run in the World Cup, ending with a loss to Belgium. Success or failure? Success or failure overall the 2026 World Cup here in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And once again, my take is, if you're calling this a failure, well, where were you in 2018? Because it did not get national headlines. It felt like it was not talked about. It was slept on. Oh, yeah, Team USA lost to Trinidad and Tobago. We didn't advance. What? We got eliminated before the World Cup began. That's failure. 2006, failure. What I saw this year was a baby step of success. It was not a smashing success. And it was a missed opportunity for sure, being that it was a home game. But to call the whole thing a failure, I disagree with. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. So it's been the summer of soccer here in the States, Canada, and Mexico, and all three host nations, United States, Canada, and Mexico, all went out in the round of 16. It's way more of a failure for Mexico, who has a precedent of being a host nation, to make a deep run in this tournament. Mexico should be a better soccer nation than America, in my mind. And yet, it feels like we've been better than Mexico as of late when we meet up against them. And they actually did have a really strong performance against England, but they lost in the round of 16, and it's way more of a failure for them. And they're actually taking it very seriously, and it seems like they're going to make some major changes. For Team USA, I want to bring back Coach Mauricio Pochettino, and I want to defend Christian Pulisic for a second because he's actually injured. So many people are killing him and putting his head on a spike like he's not injured. He actually is injured, and he is the most accomplished U.S. soccer player of all time for what he's done in Europe, winning the Champions League with Chelsea. And then what he's done at Milan has been incredible. Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, Tim Howard never played for Premier League winners, Champions League winners. Christian Pulisic, what he's done in Europe has been incredible. And he's been the face of U.S. soccer since he was 17 years old. So he was the face of the failures of the 2018 World Cup, and they try to kind of put it on him and make it so, oh, yeah, he's going to be the one that lifts us out of this failures. And they've put an incredible amount of pressure on Christian Pulisic, and not enough people know soccer, so they've used him as the solo poster child of this entire World Cup. And because of that, everybody was hoping that he would be our Lord and Savior, and it didn't work out that way. He was great for the first 45 minutes against Paraguay, and then he got hurt. And you know what? He was never the same, and he never had the same trust on his leg, and he lost confidence because of that. And then what happened? Then he got hurt again against Belgium. And if there's anything to complain about with Christian Pulisic, it's when he got hurt, he should have gone down immediately. He should have just gone down and left the game instead of trying to run it off for 2 minutes and having Team USA play with 10 guys. But to see everybody just hate and hate on Christian Pulisic when he is Captain America, when he cares more than anybody about this team having success, I'm very disappointed with the way the World Cup turned out for him, but I am desperate for him to have a redemption story in 2030, and I think Americans, we love a good redemption story. Was this a success? Wasn't the biggest success at all. It was a very tiny success. The success is more shown by the ratings, the number of people watching soccer, having a take on soccer, and caring about the team. But I just don't think it's a failure if you've been paying attention the last 24 years for U.S. soccer like I have. You can say that, you know, we didn't achieve what we did in 2002 when we made it to the quarterfinals. We beat Mexico to get to the quarterfinals. Yeah, we haven't beaten a world power to get there. I love soccer. And now I feel like there's a lot of people that tune in every 4 years. They're saying this is a complete failure. And I disagree with that. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Jay in Richmond. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. What's up, dude?
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, I think your take is just spot on. I feel like the culture here in the country, in terms of soccer, we have a short memory as Americans, I feel like. And that's just with every sport we have, like in football. No one's talking about a team from 10 years ago and the growth over time. And I think soccer is a sport where it demands you to have a longer memory to remember every tournament, every installment of a team. And I think with Team USA, I think you're spot on. I think we are just so much better now than we were 20 years ago, and just like you said, 6 years ago. I mean, because even look at how many of our guys are playing in Europe now. Look at how many of our guys who are, I mean, even playing academies. I think it's, I mean, it's exciting to watch. And I think within the country, we have to kind of incentivize buy-in for a longer period of time if we're ever going to be a serious footballing nation. That's kind of my take, and I think you're just right spot on with it.
And Jay, I want to get your take on this because you sound like someone who's been paying attention. This is the success, is that we have gone from team 32 to, like, team 14. And then everybody wants us to be a top 10 and win the World Cup and rah, rah, rah. We're the champions. We are. We will rock you. Like, no. 32 to 14 is a success. We didn't beat a top 10 team, but we've gone into the top 15, I think, comfortably.
Yeah, and to be honest, we lack the infrastructure to make such a jump technically. I think we've been playing out of our minds given the infrastructure that we have within the country for soccer. I mean, really, imagine if we invest in the sport the same way that we do with basketball or football. Oh, my goodness, imagine if we had that culture. 30 to 14 and lacking the developmental buy-in is remarkable. I think we're doing way better than some of even these European countries. I think philosophically we do need to adjust how we approach football against these teams in Europe. I think we just play fundamentally a different brand and version, but it's been very exciting to watch, especially with Pochettino. I mean, I would completely agree.
Yeah, good call, Jay. Appreciate you chiming in and your passion. And, yeah, we have played a much more beautiful game with Mauricio Pochettino. So much fun. Again, I think he made a great point about short-term memory. Like, think back to 4 years ago, how lucky we were with Christian Pulisic's late winner against Iran to advance out of the group stage against Iran, right? It was a late winner. A late winner. We cruised past Paraguay, cruised past Australia without him, cruised past Bosnia. They never were really close to scoring in that game. We put two on them, including one, while we were down a man. So it's small steps. It is improvements. It's, you know, it's frustrating, I get, for some people that we didn't win the big game against Belgium. We didn't beat the top 10 team. But, like, I'm going to call out my friend Colin, because I think there's a lot of people that are like him, that as soon as we lost, he texted the entire group, soccer sucks, I'm so mad that I was invested in this team. And that's not the right reaction to have after we lose. That's not the right reaction, and I've seen way too many reactions like that.
I mean, there's easy comparisons if, you know, if your friends watch different sports. Is it a success when Virginia Tech basketball goes to the tournament? Yes, it is. Are you expecting them to win the national championship? No, but I'm glad they made it to the tournament.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I think a lot of people also got swept up in the excitement of, we won the group for the first time in 16 years. And they saw the pathway that was spread online of, remember that? People were talking about, oh, Bosnia, then Egypt, then Uruguay. I mean, there was a chance we were going to have a cakewalk to the semifinals. I didn't want that. I wanted to have to go head-to-head with a big nation, a big soccer nation. It sucks that we lost the game, and I'm pissed off, and I was depressed as hell after the game. But I just, so many people were, like, ready to just quit the sport and never watch again, and I think that's a failure right there. But the entire World Cup was not a failure because more and more people are invested in watching this team in the future. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Gus in D.C. What's up, Gus?
Hey, Adam. You have to realize, for the major American public, soccer is an Olympic sport at this point. It just only matters every 4 years. So
yeah.
That's the problem, is that even if you have people who like the team, what's to look forward to? Gold Cup, Nations League? Those don't matter. You won't even get the big players for some of those games coming over from Europe to play here for the American national team. So that's the issue, is that, you know, we wait too long for these big events, and America is a big event for the place. You know, if it's not a big event, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Gus, I would say I think this World Cup's been so successful that they're not going to wait 32 years to come back. They probably will hand us a Copa in a few years. We might have another competition here to get people excited. I mean, the stadiums have been packed and awesome, and that's not being talked about as enough as a success as well. Gus, you're paying attention to this. 2018 was a failure. 2022 was a small step forward. 2026 was building off of that success. I think it was a success because we did win the group, and we looked really good in three games.
We're not beating European competition. I'm sorry, Bosnia doesn't count. I mean, we're not beating. That's the thing. We lost to a better Belgian team in 2014. In a
right.
closer matchup.
No, but Gus, I understand what you're saying. We didn't beat a top 10 team. Would you disagree that America in the last 10 years has gone from like the 32nd best soccer nation to definitely top 15?
I mean, the thing is, we're up and down. It doesn't matter if we're 15. We got to be like top 8 to make a difference in this country. And we're far, and that step up is way beyond us right now. Whether we're 27 or 12 doesn't really matter in America. We got to be at least top 8.
Yeah, I just think that's I think that'd be nice, but that's impossible. I off the top of my hand, I can name 10 nations that are always going to be better in soccer: England, Spain,
well,
France,
okay,
Brazil,
if
Argentina.
You tell me that's impossible. That you're telling fellow Americans who aren't that interested in the sport or slightly interested that it's impossible to be top 8. You'll never get this country then.
I mean, I guess what. So, what is your? How do you solve this then? How do you ever be better than England, Spain, and France?
Well, you listen to Thierry Henry. Henry, like when we were on a run, those guys were like, you know what? U.S. has something to build on here. We do have some of the talent. I mean, the issue was we had our goalkeeping and our defensive discipline, which we knew were going to be issues, and they came to fruition against Belgium.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Pochettino didn't help us with that. Everyone wants to say Poch is a great coach. He's not. I mean, he didn't have much time anyways. We barely saw the team gel like right before the World Cup. It was a huge surprise, the win against Paraguay, the way we did it. And we think that we're that good. We're not that good. That's the problem. Like, we have to figure out the problem is the infrastructure. It's a pay-to-play system, not only in youth leagues, but also MLS. It's a pay-to-own because there is no relegation, and there's way too many clubs in MLS. It's just,
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, Gus, but you just said you were shocked by the victory against Paraguay. How can you call this a failure?
I mean, even a victory, I mean, a dog has a day every day, you know? I mean, like, everything has a good win here and there. I mean, if we beat a Belgium 4-1, that'd be more impressive. But that wasn't the case. We beat a Paraguay team that really didn't have much bite to it. So, I mean, we've always been since outside of 2002. I mean, 2006, 2010, we're sort of the same, you know.
See, that's where I just completely disagree, Gus. And I love talking sock with you, and I know that you care about this, but that's where I completely disagree. Because if you look at the last five World Cups, 2018, we failed to qualify for the World Cup. It is a step forward from 2018. It's a step forward in the way we played in the group stage than 2022. That's a fact.
Okay. One quick thing. Pulisic and McKinney are our best players, and they're not going to be in their prime 4 years from now. Who can we count on to be part of the next generation? Maybe Balogun, and that's it. Reyna doesn't get club time. Freeman was our youngest player in our team, and he was already 21 years old. We didn't have any really young stars that really show up in this World Cup, so we don't have a new generation to look forward to.
We're hoping that you'll have a continuation of what you had 4 years ago, where, you know, 4 years ago we didn't have Malik Tillman. Now he stepped up on the scene. We didn't have we had Dest in a different role. So, like, you just have to trust that these guys that are in Europe will continue to develop, and there will be more people that will pop up in Europe. There's 100 problems with soccer in this country, but just to say that this was a failure, I don't like that take, and it's almost like you're just throwing away what they did successfully in the group. We didn't win against a top 10 team. I admit that. We've rarely ever won against a top 10 team in my life. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Good call, Gus. I'll talk to you next week, man. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. To judge success or failure, well, you have to know what your expectations are. And expectations changed for Team USA. I think a lot of people are forgetting that there was a time before the World Cup began when the hype started to get going and the hype train and people started talking about it on national television and in Europe. The talk was, will Team USA get out of the group? There was legit talk about that. Will we get out of the group? Expectations changed by every single game. We blew out Paraguay. Now all of a sudden everybody's saying, can we make the semifinals, right? We win the group. Everyone's talking about a pathway to playing Spain in the quarterfinals. I'm disappointed by the result and the loss to Belgium, especially the way we played in that game. We looked awful, and it was embarrassing the way our keeper played. Going into this World Cup, I kept my expectations low. Why? Because I watch soccer and I know we had the best attack we've had in a long time. Balogun was balling. Christian Pulisic, when he's healthy, is one of the best attackers we've ever had. On the other side, Dest was playing great for a lot of this tournament. Belgium, he played awful. I'll admit that, right? Tillman had a great World Cup. My expectations were low, because I knew we had a 39-year-old dinosaur in defense in Tim Ream and a goalkeeper that I'd barely heard of, and I watched soccer every weekend. So I kept my expectations low. But for the casual fans, to say that this was a failure, I just don't think you've been paying attention. Or maybe you're too casual of a fan, and then you're going to get swept back in it in 4 years when it comes back. It's baby steps, and it was a small success to win the group, to score the amount of goals that we did, to dominate the style of play and the possession throughout the entirety of the group stage and the Bosnia game. And we won a knockout round game. It's not our fault that they expanded it to 48 teams. And I will argue with everyone that it didn't really water down the competition. It's been awesome. It's probably been the best World Cup of my life. And that's what I wanted to transition to here. As I think Barstool's called it the King's Cup. I've just loved the star power that we've gotten in this World Cup. There's a legit golden boot race here. We've had every single soccer nation, basically, that's still in it, has had their superstars come to life. We finally saw Jude Bellingham in a big game have a big moment for England, and he did it twice against Mexico in the span of 65 seconds. And Erling Haaland, my girlfriend told me today, hey, can we go out to the bar to watch Erling play? What? You know her, you know his name? He's taken over this country. The row that Norway's done. So outside of Team USA, you can be disappointed. The overall World Cup has been a big hit in this country. It's gotten more and more people excited. And so I wanted to real quick preview today's two good games. Norway, England, I am taking England, but Norway will put up a hell of a fight. Norway's not going to back down to anybody. They will have spells of possession where England will have to defend and defend. England's got too much class, in my mind, in the midfield and in attack. Jude Bellingham's playing so darn well. He can do everything on the pitch, it seems like, from box-to-box midfielder to a striker who scores goals to a winger who's taking people on up the field. It feels like he's not getting enough love because Messi's scoring goal after goal after goal. Mbappe's been unbelievable. He's looked like the fastest player on the planet every time France plays. And, of course, Lionel Messi, game after game after game, has turned back the clock. But Jude Bellingham's been one of the faces of this tournament so far. I think he leads England to victory. Like, I will say 2-1, but I'm hoping for a 3-2 thriller today at 5 o'clock. Argentina-Switzerland, I think, will be a 0-0 game going into maybe stoppage time or extra time, and then I think Argentina wins it. Switzerland will control the game defensively. They will limit Argentina's attacks. I don't think they'll get many shots off in the box, but the Norway-England game is going to be the game to watch today. I do think Argentina-Switzerland will be a little more boring. I've got Argentina advancing and England advancing. That will be your second semifinal. The other one we already know is locked in is France against Spain. And as much as I wanted to see Team USA in that, I am starting to get really excited the fact that we've got the best two soccer powerhouses of my lifetime taking on each other. I know Argentina won 4 years ago, but Spain's the one in my life that went Euro Cup champions, World Cup champions, Euro Cup champions. That's so hard to do. France, I've seen them play in multiple World Cup finals, including winning it all. And the French attack is just unbelievable. It's three guys that are all at the top of their game right now and can even get better. They're not afraid to take on double teams. It's just been amazing to watch Olise, Dembele, and Mbappe as well up top for France. And Spain, I mean, you want to get jealous of another soccer nation? You watch Spain play. Every single guy has unbelievable abilities to trap, to pass anywhere, to shoot from anywhere, to get past a guy, right? They could be under pressure. They don't care. They'll just dribble out of it. And the thing about Spain that's so impressive is that they could probably play a backup 11 and be a top five nation in the country. I mean, in the world. That's how talented Spain is. France has got some amazing players off the bench as well. So I think you guys will stick with the summer of soccer, even though Mexico, Canada, and U.S. have been eliminated, because these are just some juicy, juicy matchups today. Tuesday and Wednesday will be your semifinals before the final will be played next Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.